Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. It has been Genesis of Hattiesburg week here on the Eagle Hour, and we're concluding that week by broadcasting our program from this beautiful Genesis showroom here on Highway 98. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon, Kevin Mullins, general manager here of this beautiful facility, and Matt Grubbs Hyundai is with us. And Kevin, as always, man, it's always fun to be here. Thank you for having us. Yeah,
thanks for being here. It's great to be a sponsor this week.
Well, we appreciate it very much, and it's a big week, Kevin. This is the App State game, and Dima and I have been talking a lot about this on the program, but you had the Mississippi State game, and I think everybody realistically knew the SEC team would win that. A game last week that realistically you figured Southern Miss would, but here's one that you don't really know. And it's exciting, isn't it, to have an opportunity to see winning football again.
It is, and just being at the Rock last weekend, seeing the energy Coach Huff brings to the Rock and to the players, something we haven't seen in a lot of years here. And I think he's building on something big for the future for us.
Yeah. I like to ask a lot of our clients and business owners this, but and yours is a little different, obviously. You're in the car business. But how important is Southern Miss to the community, and how important would it be to get the football team back winning regularly and getting everybody excited about football again?
It's huge because Southern Miss, as you know, is one of the biggest employers here in Hattiesburg. So when people are happy, they're spending money in the community, so that makes all the businesses better. And people are spending money at the university as well. So it's one hand washes the other, for sure.
And so it could wash into the car business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Dima, we're, what, a little over 24 hours away. How are you feeling about this?
You know, I'm excited. It should be a good, obviously a great game tomorrow. Really, really close game. The line has moved all week. It started like -2 App State, and then moved all the way to Southern Miss -3, and then now it's back to App State -3. So people don't really know what to expect, I guess, on the Las Vegas line. But, yeah, it should be a good game. I hope it's a good crowd. I still haven't seen the spike in ticket sales that I thought we would see it later in the week. But I hope it's a good crowd because, as we've noted, it's a huge game for the future of the program.
My friend Kevin is an avid football fan. Kevin, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is an offensive line to a successful football team?
12.
It's everything.
It's everything. It's everything. If you can't stop the pass rush, you're going to get beat every single time, because the best quarterback under pressure is average.
Yeah, yeah. Even Tom Brady couldn't throw accurately from his back.
Correct.
Maybe he could, but other than that. Southern Miss has a rebuilt offensive line, and one of those young men is Hayes Creel. Dima had an opportunity to talk to him earlier this week, talk to him about melding this new offensive line together and how important that cohesiveness is to the success of the football program. And here's what he got out of Hayes Creel.
Hayes Creel, offensive lineman for the Golden Eagles. Hayes, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Hayes, how would you rate the play of the offensive line for the past 2 weeks?
For the last 2 weeks, I thought we've played, you know, decent. We've played good at times. We've played inconsistent at times. A lot of it's been communicational or chemistry issues. Guys, you know, we're playing guys at different positions and, you know, asking a lot out of certain guys. And I feel like as the season continues to go on and we continue to get more comfortable with certain guys and positions and able to, you know, get in the film room more and be ready for looks and be able to communicate, I feel like we'll be able to continue to make jumps and continue to be even better playing than we have been.
When you're playing in front of a guy like Braylon Braxton, who can do so much with his feet and so much, his vision is so increasing. What is playing with a quarterback like that?
He definitely makes it easier on us. I mean, just in terms of, you know, guys on the defensive line have to know when they're rushing, like, you can't just do whatever you want, because if you're out of gap or you lose contain, he's going to make a play downfield. And he's done a great job of, you know, escaping pressure at times and being able to keep his eyes downfield. And he doesn't want to throw the ball away. He's trying to keep his eyes downfield to make a throw or maybe run and get a few yards. And, you know, it's good to see a quarterback like that that's, you know, just trying to work to get yards and continue to move the chains.
Running the ball is such a crucial part in the game. Definitely went up against a really good front, Mississippi State, I think equally as good of a front as Jackson State. How do you look to increase the running abilities for Southern Miss?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's something we've talked about. We have to establish, you know, it's not even about just running the ball. We have to put ourselves in a good position on first and 10 in order, you know, to be able to attack second down and third down and open up the pass game. And, you know, a lot of our run game, when we attack the perimeters, a lot of that is an extension of the run game. That's how we see it, because if teams want to load the box or put six or seven in the box, you know, we have no problem spinning out there to our athletes in space and letting them go get five. Run game, we just got to continue to work techniques and fundamentals and continue to communicate, and, you know, eventually we'll put it together and we'll start seeing improvements.
I think offensive line is probably one of the harder positions to play in all of sport and all of football. What is it like playing that unit under Coach Huff, though?
I mean, it's been tremendous. I mean, we work hard, you know, and he's on us hard, and he expects a lot out of us because he played the position. And at the same time, with how hard he pushes us and how hard he works us, he also understands, you know, like, he loves on us hard and he takes care of us. So, you know, I appreciate that because, you know, he expects a lot out of us. But at the same time, you know we can trust him, and he just wants to see us succeed.
All right, Hayes, anything else you want to tell the Southern Miss fandom on the Eagle Hour?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. We'll see you on Saturday playing App State.
Sounds good. See y'all there.
That's awesome.
All right, that's Hayes Creel. He transferred here from McNeese State. He's a big kid, isn't he, Dima?
Yeah, he is. I thought I was back in, you know, the Bible days. I was looking up to Goliath. He's 6'7". So, he's really good on the right side of the offensive line. That's a position where he really hasn't moved at all. The whole right side with Maui, him, and then the center, Broderick Roman, they haven't moved that at all. It's the two left side guard and tackle that they've been moving around. So he's pretty much stayed there. He's a big guy, big body. But running the ball is still crucial to this team. They've got to be able to establish the run a little bit better. And this is an App State defense, Bob, who's only allowing 42 yards per game on the ground from their opponents in the last 2 weeks. So something's got to give. It's either App State's, you know, maybe not as good in the run defense as we think, or Southern Miss, you know, they've got to be able to run the ball. Because when they run the ball, it really opens up what Braylon's able to do in the play-action game. It opens up the wide receivers more. But they have to establish it, because it'll happen what Mississippi State did in the second half, where they just dropped eight in coverage because they didn't respect Southern Miss's ability to run the ball. Yeah.
Well, statistically, and it's only after two games, I do recognize that, App State, like you say, leads in rushing defense. They also lead in offensive productivity.
Yeah.
So Southern Miss has got to run the football not only to establish some offense, but to keep the number one league offense off the field as much as they can.
Yeah, you know, that's a big deal. I expect a shootout tomorrow night, so if you're looking for a lot of points, I would assume that's what we're in for. The over-under, I think, was 57 last I looked at it, so that's pretty high. So I think the Vegas line is thinking that as well. One thing about App State's offense, though, is they don't really throw the ball downfield that much. Their offense is like quick passes, but their playmakers make such, like, turn a 2-yard pass into a 12-yard pass, and that's why it's so hard to stop. That's why tackling is going to be key for the Southern Miss defense. But as you said, the Southern Miss offense is also going to have to, you know, have good drives to make sure the defense isn't just on the field all the time and just running after these playmakers that the Mountaineers have.
Like we saw in the second half against State.
Correct.
Kevin, I know you're a big fan, but I know you were at the game Saturday night. What would be the biggest things from a fan's perspective you saw that was different Saturday night than what you've seen the last couple of years? Go ahead.
I would say accuracy from the quarterback position. He threw some balls, especially the touchdown that actually got called back where he couldn't control the ball through the end. That was one of the best balls I've ever seen a college quarterback throw in the corner of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it. As he was saying, you know, they got to establish the run. If you're going to beat a team that's got a great offense, you got to control the clock, and the only way to do that is run the football.
Mm-hmm. Athletically, they look a lot different to you.
They're a lot bigger, yes, and that's going to be a big thing going forward. They struggled with size over the past few years. It was hard to recruit here, but Coach Huff has done an amazing job through the transfer portal and is recruiting to get players on the field, and that's a big part. You can have the best coaching in the world, but if you don't have the horses, you're not going to eat.
Right, and you know, last year, like, they had some like decent size, but their mobility and agility did not match that size. And I think that's another thing that's different about this team is, like, even their players who are not overtly big, you know, as far as, like Aloe Maui on the right guard, he's only, like, I think he's 6'2", 6'3". Now, that's not, like, a huge offensive lineman, but he's doing so well in that position just with his agility, the strength and conditioning program that they implemented over the summer to get these kids fit and ready to play is something that we hadn't seen in the past few years. And that's, I think, another element to what he's saying about
definitely
strength.
More athletic.
Right, exactly.
Hey, we're broadcasting from Genesis of Hattiesburg. Got our buddy Kevin Mullins here with us. Still lots to come on the Friday before game number 3. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road this Friday. Friday before the App State game. It has been Genesis of Hattiesburg week all week on the Eagle Hour. And so where better to conclude the week than to broadcast our program live down here with our friend Kevin Mullins in this unbelievable, unbelievable showroom. Only Genesis showroom in the state of Mississippi?
Correct. And will be the only one.
Will be the only one.
Yes.
All right, Kevin, tell us a little bit about your dealership here.
Well, we've been open here, I guess, since April 8th of 2024. Mm-hmm. We've been selling Genesis, really, since, I guess, 2015. We've sold them out of our Hyundai store for a number of years. And then Genesis really made a strive to break the two brands apart, and they really are completely different vehicles, Hyundai being the parent company. But it's a pure luxury line of vehicles, very nice cars. They all come with, you know, 3 years free maintenance. Valet service, where if you buy a car from us, you never have to come back here for service. We'll bring you a Genesis to drive and pick your car, bring it here, service it, wash it, bring it back to you, and pick our car up. I mean, it's a pretty easy little philosophy we got, and it works really well.
Yeah. How is it that Genesis split off from Hyundai?
Well, back in 2009, when they first came out with their first brand of Genesis, that was the original plan, but right then we were in the middle of a recession, and they couldn't put it upon their dealers at that point to, you know, invest all this money in an unknown economy. So they let them stay at the Genesis with the Hyundai dealerships for that time. And then over time, as the economy grew, car sales got back to normal, then they made a decision to say, hey, this was our original plan, and so we're going to break these dealerships apart. You got selected by Genesis by your criteria of how many you were selling with Hyundai, mainly your customer service, how you handled your customers, mm-hmm. and things like that. And if you didn't meet the criteria, you weren't going to be a Genesis dealer, because it is, you know, it's a different experience when you come here.
Well, this is not the biggest city in Mississippi, obviously, but you have the only Genesis dealership. How did that happen?
A lot of prayer. it's the people that we got. It was hard work. It wasn't by mistake, but it was just something we strive to do. We at the Hyundai store for years when I was there running that store. You know, we treated everybody as if they were an honored guest, and because they truly are, they choose to come do business with us, and you know, we really strove to take care of them. And in return, you know, they give us good survey returns and things like that, and that was, you know, noticed by the manufacturer. And then when it's time to become a Genesis dealership, obviously they gave us the nod, and we're grateful for that.
Tariffs, have they mm-hmm. affected you?
Not at all. Not at all to this point. Mm-hmm. Tariffs are being charged to the cars, but they're not being charged to the consumer. Mm-hmm. So there's no impact to the consumer for purchasing.
So the company's taking a hit.
That's correct.
Hmm. Can you walk our listeners through, like, when they come in seeking to buy a new car, what's kind of the process through that?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. Where we differ from most customers, come on the lot here, we try to bring them inside first and show them our showroom, show them our service department, show them what things are about. We'll sit them down at a desk, find out really what they're trying to do, what their goal was when they were coming here today to accomplish. The first thing we do is we want to accomplish that goal. The last thing we want to do is have a customer come here, we not find out what they want, and they leave without accomplishing their goal. We do that, and then we pick out a car for them. We'll pull the car off to the side. You can pull it in here. We have a nice little delivery area. We can pull it in at climate controlled. Show them the car. Open it up. Show them the bells and whistles. See if the car is actually going to fit what they need. If not, grab another car. Then we just take, you know, if they want to take a test drive, we'll take them on a test drive. And, you know, if they want to buy the car, we'll help them with the paperwork. It's a much easier process than you would at your typical car dealership.
What's the typical people who are coming in for, like, a car like this? Is this what's the target audience, I guess?
It can be any age group from 25 to whatever. I think the you're looking at probably your upper middle class, if that's your demographic you're looking for money wise, to your higher tier. Our lower priced cars start in the $50,000 range all the way up to $107,000. So it's they can get on a little on the pricey side, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of value for the money for what you get compared to the market.
Gotcha.
And how about pre-owned? Have you got those here as well?
I've got 12 pre-owned in stock. We have, I think, 9 certified pre-owned Genesis in stock right now available as well, which sell for obviously a little bit less than what a brand new one does, but still carries the benefit of what the new factory warranty would be. Mm-hmm. So,
I've always heard that's the smart way to buy a car, a certified pre-owned car.
In this line, we do a lot of leasing, so we get a lot of lease returns, which turn into great certified pre-owned cars. On the new side, with the luxury line, you see probably about 40% of our customers do lease, because a lot of them are business owners and stuff like that, and they can use that as a tax write-off, the payments on as a tax write-off. So at the end of the lease, those cars become incredible certified pre-owned vehicles.
Mm-hmm. So you can come down here and find out about that anytime as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Overall, Kevin, how's the car business in the Pine Belt, you think? Because I know you and I have talked in the past. There were some times that you could go around car dealerships and you think, what in the world happened? They don't have any inventory. Yeah. But those days seem to be over.
Well, at the beginning of the month, I was shaking my head because we were kind of in that situation again. The past couple months have been really good for us, and we've been outselling what's been in the pipeline, which is a good short-term problem to have, but for long-term, we got to build some pipeline back up to get mm-hmm. the cars here. So we have about 25 new cars in stock right now, and I think we have a total of 14 total used cars, which about 9 or 10 are certified pre-owned. So we've got a good selection of inventory. You know, being a luxury dealer, we're never going to be a high volume dealership. You know, so that's mm-hmm. it's not as big of a concern if I had 20 cars at our Hyundai store where we actually have a little over 100. So we have plenty of inventory there. But mm-hmm. I think the state of the car business is great right now. I think we're selling between the two dealerships. I think we had a record volume month in the month of August. So they can't complain about that.
And this store does a service department. I know that over there. Is it hard to get parts in for that? Because I know that there was a shortage on chips. There was a shortage on all these things a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there was a major chip shortage, right. And that was a major problem for – actually, that problem probably just rectified itself, at least with our brand, over the past year. So we don't really have much concerns of getting parts anymore. If we don't have them in stock, it's usually 2 to 3 days at the most to get something in stock as far as parts. Same with our Hyundai store.
What was the thinking that Genesis had? When you look around in this showroom, it really does kind of look like you're sitting in the lobby of a really swanky hotel, for lack of a better term.
Well, that's exactly what every touch point is supposed to be luxury here. Even from the floating ceiling that we have from the outside, it's with all the glass around us, it's supposed to look like the roof is floating. But everything you see from our what they call the Genesis Cube over there that lights up at night in different colors, the screen lighting over here above the car, it's amazing to the brass wall that we have here, which the car at night reflects against it, and it shows the colors in an ornate way. It's just every piece of furniture in here was put in place for a reason, and it seems to work.
Yeah, it is really cool looking at night. I don't know if you're listening to me. Come, just drive by here at night when it's good and dark, and ride by the dealership and look inside. It really is super cool.
Yeah, I got to pinch myself every once in a while and realize how good I've got it coming to work in this building every day.
No, you're pretty well off here, Kevin.
It's not too bad.
You're not doing too bad, are you?
No.
That's good for a Redskin fan. I'm always happy to see Redskin fans are doing well.
We got whooped last night. But
it wasn't very pretty, was it?
It wasn't, but you know what? We've had worse days.
And a lot of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them. There's a meme, Dima, that I have seen a number of times, and it's a Redskin fan who has passed, and he's standing at the gate, and St. Peter is there, and he's got his list out, and he goes, "Oh, never mind, you've been a Redskin fan all your life. You've suffered enough. Come on in."
That's right. We're old enough
to remember
when they were
really to be that way.
Yeah. Now, you're also a Saints fan, Kevin Mullins.
I like the Saints.
Are you optimistic at all? Because my man here is a Saints fan. He's a huge Rattler fan, by the way. He's not very optimistic.
Yeah, well, I think they've got a good future. I think they got a decent coach. I think they played with a lot of heart this past Saturday, but I think they maxed out their talent, like we talked earlier. Their roster it needs some work. They've got some salary cap issues they've got to work through.
Old players too.
Yeah, and they're a very old team, and you know, I think everybody in the world's an Alvin Kamara fan, but they just gave the guy like $24 million guaranteed last year on a 30-year-old running back. I think there's better ways you can spend that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I will say they did look better than I thought they would last
100%.
Week. 100%. Now, I don't know what the sustainability of that is because, like we've talked with Patrick McGee on the show several times, you know.
My buddy Pat.
When one of them gets injured, you know. There's not really that many people behind them.
That's right.
So I'll have to tell you this. I got a text from my daughter last week when the game got underway, and she texted me and she said, "Has the Saints' new quarterback graduated from high school yet?" He's pretty young looking.
Yeah, he is pretty young.
You like him, though, Kevin?
Who, Rattler?
The coach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's a great offensive mind, and I think he's going to do well. I didn't like the fact that they tried to tush-push last weekend, but yeah, you know, I think he'll be all right.
Junior colleges were underway last night. Pearl River got thumped a little bit. We're going to catch up with Mike Frazier, get you up to date on everything that happened around the JUCO League. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. You know, we claim that, Kevin. You don't mind that, do you?
Not at all.
Okay. We're here, glad to be here with our good friend Kevin Mullins. Michael Berg is back at the studio producing. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, joins us right now. Saints getting ready to play the San Francisco 49ers. My man Kevin here is going to the game Sunday, Patrick McGee. Assure him that he has reason to be optimistic this weekend.
Well, I would say he, you know, looking, if we looked at this game 3 weeks ago, you're thinking this is probably the Saints getting knocked around by the 49ers. But right now, the 49ers, I think the 49ers and the Saints have been like two of the most injured teams over the last 3 or 4 years. The injuries just always seem to pile up for both teams. Right now, the 49ers are likely down their quarterback Purdy, and George Kittle's on injured reserve, I believe. So you're taking out, you know, the two of the biggest pieces of the 49ers offense. Now, you still got to contend with Christian McCaffrey, but yeah, I mean, I think this game is probably looking about as winnable as last week's game against the Cardinals was, which obviously we know the results on that. The Cardinals pulled that one out in the end.
What did you think about their performance against the Cardinals, Badger?
I mean, it was kind of what I expected in that scenario. I think they didn't look awful. There were moments where you're like, ugh, you know, defense kind of had a lapse here or there, but overall was fairly solid. I think the defense kind of put them in a position to win that game. While on offense, you had Spencer Rattler dinking and dunking in the passing game. He threw the ball 46 times, I think, which is, you know, probably more than they would have liked. The ground game never quite got going. Rattler and the receivers never really kind of hit the big play. So it was an offense that lacked a big play aside from a nice run or two from Kamara. And, you know, but they were in position to potentially tie or win the game. They're late, and Juwan Johnson couldn't come down with a pass in the end zone. So, yeah, you're not in full disaster mode right now if you're a Saints fan, but you're thinking, well, that was pretty mediocre.
Yeah, and another thing on that, Patrick, late in the game, Chris Olave took a hit, and, you know, he kind of was shaken up, and it just was kind of like a reminder of, like, man, they're that close to, you know, disaster. If any one of these playmakers just gets injured, there's nobody behind them. I mean, he basically threw the ball to hit Olave and the tight end, Johnson, just them two. There wasn't a lot of production from the other receivers.
Yeah, and Rattler, I think, should not have thrown that pass to Olave. That was
right,
just,
right.
You could just sense the impending doom on that. You're just, but thankfully, one hit to the head. It was a chest injury, and yeah, I mean, if the Saints just don't have depth across the board, and that's why this team's in the position it's in.
All right, Kevin, here's the sports editor of the Times-Picayune, and I'm sure you have an NFL question or two.
Let's see. What would you predict the Saints' record to be this year?
Yeah, here we go.
I mean, I put the ceiling at like 7, 8 wins maybe, and right now I'm thinking probably 5-6 is probably about it. I think they're probably the worst team in their division. As we know, the first two games of the season are not a great indicator of how good a team is. All you have to do is look back to last year's season for the Saints, where they start 2-0 and things just fell apart after one or two injuries. So this is still a little TBD on the Saints team, but it's hard to get excited.
I think they need to be happy that the Miami Dolphins are in the league.
Patrick, surely the Saints are better than the Panthers.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out when they play each other twice this season. I think they're probably on
Didn't the
same.
Panthers, like, blow them out last year?
You know, Bob, asked a question earlier.
Okay.
You asked a question earlier, Bob, about offensive line, and, you know, across the line on the Saints, Spencer Rattler last week was running for his life the whole game, and that's just no way to play an NFL football game. You've got to have some time to get the ball off at least 3 seconds. I think they struggled in that department a little bit last week.
Yeah, Patrick, you say they're old, right? I mean, overall, the roster is
mostly
old
on defense. On defense, I would call them old. On offense, I wouldn't necessarily call them old. And I thought the line, you know, I disagree a little bit on the play of the line. I think, you know, considering especially Fuaga missed a large chunk of the game, I think overall the line was okay. If they can get Penning back in the next week or two, I think they're going to have just fairly decent depth there. And I think the line isn't going to be why this team falls apart unless they have like two or three injuries there.
Right.
But they can't afford a lot of injuries. That's what I'm hearing you say, right? That they don't. They're pretty thin.
The Saints just don't have depth really anywhere anymore. You know, last year they were really deep in the secondary, and you know they've already Blackman, when the DBs is hurt and pretty much out for the season, so they're already looking at some issues. They can't afford any more injuries in the secondary. There's really not one area on the team where you're thinking, oh, if they lose a guy, they got another guy that can step up. It's just really nowhere on the team is that the case, other than quarterback, maybe, because Chuck is probably the same, you know, going to be as productive as Rattler is at the very least.
Yeah. And, Bob, the good news is for the Saints, they get to go to Buffalo in 2 weeks and play Josh Allen and the Bills. So that'll be really nice.
Well, they're not very good.
No, they're terrible. So they'll be able to win that game.
Buffalo really needs to find a quarterback, don't they, Patrick?
Yeah, that's a team that does have to have some talent across the board. So that is a mismatch.
Yeah, now, the Saints, they go and draft a quarterback. Then they name Rattler the starter. Is Rattler going to be there until he gets injured? I hope that doesn't happen. But, I mean, is Rattler the man, or could we see a quarterback change sooner than later?
If we're kind of continuing on this trend where Rattler's just getting by, not really doing anything down the field, I think probably within a month we're probably going to see Shuck out there. But now, you know, I think it's going to take – I think it may take – I really can't see inside Kellen Moore's head, but we may be in a situation where – Chuck isn't thrown out there until Rattler has a game where he throws two bad or three interceptions. That may be what happens here. I don't know. But it's just TBD on that.
Okay. All right, Kevin, you're going to the game Sunday. What do you want to see?
I want to see a high-scoring game, and I want to see some good defense along with the high-scoring game, some good hitting, good line play, and just a good – I want to see the Saints win. And I think this game is set up for them to win with the injuries that the 49ers have.
Do you really think so?
I think it's a good opportunity.
Patrick,
I mean, Kittle's such a big part of what they do on all other parts of their offense. He's such a great blocker as a tight end and a great receiver. When he's not in that lineup, it's Purdy not being there.
And Purdy is not going to be there.
That's what I'm saying.
So. And Kittle is great in the pizza commercials.
Yes.
He does a really good job in the pizza commercials. Patrick, do you give the Saints a chance this weekend? What have they got to do to beat the 49ers?
I think the Saints will have a chance going into the fourth quarter, but – you know, kind of last week they had a similar situation, and it's not, you know, with Rattler in there, he's got a little bit of gunslinger in him. He can kind of take him down the field in a hurry, but this offense just isn't closing out games and hasn't closed out games for a while with Rattler back there. So I at this point I'd probably say that 49ers win, but the Saints will have a chance later.
Hey, last question. Kevin made the comment to me earlier that he thought the Saints had spent far too much money on a 30-year-old running back in Kamara. What would you say to that?
No, I mean, I think Alvin Kamara is still Alvin Kamara. I mean, there aren't many running backs out there like him. It really does kind of come down to the play of the offensive line and the ineffective passing game. So if they don't have Kamara on that offense, it's a really embarrassing unit. So I think Kamara really
that's
still
a fact
is the centerpiece.
Embarrassing. Okay, Patrick. Now look, if the Saints make it to the Super Bowl,
I'll buy the tickets.
Will you be providing the Eagle Hour with tickets?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Patrick?
Okay. You got it.
Patrick, did you hear me, Patrick?
Yeah, I heard you. I got your tickets.
We got media passes, Bob.
Yeah, well, I really don't think we have to worry about it. Do y'all?
No.
Patrick, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll get you back on the show again next week. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, who is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune. So you will buy the Super Bowl tickets, Kevin Mullins, if the Saints make it there?
For us three, yes, I will.
All right.
Not Kelly.
You know we record these shows.
That's okay.
I've got this show. I'll have this in the archive.
Now, does that mean just this year or the next 20 years?
No, just this year.
Oh,
just
okay. Year. Yeah.
You're not gonna involve
me. No, I've got an ongoing bet with one of our technicians at the Hyundai store who's a Bears fan. And if the Bears ever make it to the Super Bowl, I told him I'm taking him to the Super Bowl, and that's I don't think cool. I'll ever see that in my life.
I can guarantee you won't see the Bengals.
Did you hear that, Merkins, what he just said about
the
Bears?
We've actually been off the air for the last 5 minutes.
Oh,
kidding.
Oh, okay. would you take my man Michael? He's a huge Bears fan.
Yeah.
All right, you heard Michael.
I did.
Bears make the Super Bowl. You're there. We'll be back. We're at Genesis of Hattiesburg having a good time with our friend Kevin Mullen. Stay with us, everybody.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Okay, it's turning into a really good day. Super Talk Eagle Hour at the Genesis of Hattiesburg, and now Michael Mergens, our producer, knows he's going to the Super Bowl this year thanks to Kevin Mullen.
So the Bears.
This has been a pretty the Bears, the Bears.
And Bob just bought me a new Genesis, so man, it's been a great day.
It was supposed to be a surprise.
That's how I had to pay for the ticket selling a Genesis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's get to the picks. And before we do, now if you're one of those people that may put a wager on a game, that's why we brought Kevin Mullen. I would write down every pick he makes and call Snooky the bookie immediately after the
and
show.
And bet on the opposite of what I pick.
All right, let's go, Dima.
All right, so this is an interesting one. Iowa State, the 14th-ranked team, Iowa State Cyclones, at Arkansas State.
Why?
Great question. Why? 21-point underdog, the Red Wolves, hosting at Iowa State.
Go ahead,
who
Kevin.
You got?
Iowa State.
Are we
picking against the spread?
We're picking the spread. So do they cover the 21 on the road?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's got the Red Wolves with the points.
I'm going with Iowa State. Yeah.
You covering 21?
Uh huh. I'm leading in this race, by the way. Right. I won it last year, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Here's my thing. Arkansas State got obliterated by Arkansas last week, like 63-10.
Yeah,
Iowa State isn't that much different than Arkansas, in my opinion. So I'm picking Iowa State to cover. So yeah,
right.
Jacksonville State at Georgia Southern, 3-point Eagle favorites.
This is the pillow fight of the week, Kevin, and I'm going to go with the home team, Georgia Southern,
covering the 3.
Yeah.
I'm taking the same.
I'm taking Georgia Southern as well. All right, last Sun Belt game: Texas State on the road at Arizona State. Arizona State's a 17.5-point favorite.
Kevin?
Arizona State covering.
I think so, too.
Arizona, they're going to be mad they got beat by I'm going to take Texas State to cover. I don't think they're going to win, but that's
Arizona
that's
State just lost the Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs, yes, that's correct. All right, our two national games, Georgia, number 6, at Tennessee. Tennessee's a 4-point underdog.
Oh, Georgia.
Georgia over Tennessee?
I'll give it up 4 points. I kind of think that may be a mismatch.
So you think Georgia's going to win?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to win, too. I think Tennessee's a little bit overrated. All right, A&M at Notre Dame. Notre Dame at home, 7-point favorite.
Well, you do know now that the payroll in these two games is higher than the Saints and the 49ers. Probably Sunday. What's the spread again?
7 points spread. For Notre Dame. Notre Dame's 7-point favorite.
Over who?
Texas A&M.
Where's the game?
Notre Dame.
I like Notre Dame.
I like the Golden Domers, too.
Like Golden Domers. Yeah, I think so. I don't think Texas A&M is that good.
I think they have a great coach, too. I think that young man is just a fabulous coach.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, let's go ahead and do it. We're going to pick Southern Miss App State. So App State's a 3.5-point road favorite. The over-under is 56.5. Who wants to go first?
Kevin.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take Southern Miss, not only to cover but to win.
There you go.
I think Southern Miss is going to – this thing has got to turn around.
Yeah.
And it's got to start tomorrow night. And I think Coach Huff understands that, and I know he does. I like Southern Miss to win the game by about 7 to 10 points.
There you go. Yeah, I'm with Kevin. The over is going to hit. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I said 38-31 Southern Miss.
So. Kevin, this thing's got to turn around, doesn't it?
It does. And one thing I can tell you about Coach Huff, the team's going to one that we haven't seen in years past, the team's going to come in prepared. And if they do that, they play their game. They play like they did last week, and I think they're going to walk away with a win. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think from a talent standpoint, I think they've got what it takes, and definitely from a coaching standpoint.
Thema, what would a win mean?
I think it would just really energize the fan base more than anything. I think the players expect to win, which is different than what we've seen in the past. But I really think it would energize the fan base in knowing that this is a turnaround that is happening before them. They know that this is a different Southern Miss football team. So I think it means more than just the W in the column. I think it's more for the fans realizing who are on that, like I'll believe it when I see it, bench that most of the fans are sitting on right now. They'll see, okay, this is different. This is a different team.
It's going to be a change of the culture of the program.
Right.
Correct.
It's more important for the program than the record, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I think that's
and
right.
And we've got to have a fan turnout tomorrow night. Yes. That's the whole key. We've been lacking on that.
And you start out with 3 home games. You really need to win 2 of those 3.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And it's finally a level playing field. You're not playing an SEC opponent. You're not playing an FCS opponent. This is the real first time we actually get to see what this team actually is. Because it's really hard to gauge them against an SEC opponent and then an FCS opponent. You can, like, mix and draw straws in certain areas, but you really don't know what they have until they play a Sun Belt opponent that's on their playing field. A Sun Belt opponent who's looked good, but you don't really know what they are either.
Correct.
So you were talking to the App State play-by-play caller yesterday. Like he was saying, it's kind of for us the same thing. We played an FCS opponent and then like a Charlotte team that we don't think's good. Right. So it's going to say a lot for both teams. I'm excited. I can't wait to get out there tomorrow.
Kevin, thank you for having us here. How can people get in touch with your great staff?
You can go on our website or you can just give us a call right here at the dealership. Or main thing, stop in, get a cup of coffee, have a soda.
Check this place out, man.
It's unbelievable. Just come in and take a tour.
6 days a week, right?
Monday through Saturday.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Super Talk Eagle Hour, happy to be at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Very happy to have them as part of our Super Talk family. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back, break the game down Monday at 1 o'clock. Dean will be rejoining us. Until next time, Southern Miss to the top. Like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus.
a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.